Today on Growing in Grace, how to live victoriously strong in the midst of tragedy and sorrow.
One of the keys to living this kind of life is theology. And for many of you, when you hear that, you're like, oh, that's his book study. When I say theology, I mean a knowledge of God, knowing who God is, his character. What makes it possible for Habakkuk to move from that kind of fear to this kind of faith, from that kind of sorrow to this kind of joy and song, is that he understands the personal nature of this.
You know, more often than not, when things start falling apart in our lives, our first response is to question God and his wisdom and his power. Welcome to Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne from San Gabriel Community Church. Even If is the title of our message, we are back in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, taking a look at Habakkuk's resolve to trust God even when circumstances question God. And therein lies a ton of wisdom for you and I today. Join us, won't you? For today's broadcast of Growing in Grace, once again, here's Pastor Steve.
This is what makes the Christian life distinct. This is what makes a life of faith distinct. He's not Pollyanna, right? I need a new reference because half of you have never seen it. We'll have it. When you have a movie night, we'll watch it so then I can keep making these references. But, you know, Pollyanna, like the hopeful, the relentless optimist. And sometimes I think that's how we view the Christian life. And the Habakkuk is saying, listen, I know everything's bad, but I'm just going to find, you know, rainbows in the glass and everything's going to be great. That's not what he's saying. It's not just happiness in spite of circumstances. He's not saying everything's bad, but I'm just going to be happy anyway. Look what he says. I will rejoice what? In the Lord. I will take joy where? In the God of my salvation. This is the point. This is what a life of faith looks like. Brothers and sisters, this is what it means for us in this day, in the midst of trial, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution, to be able to say, no matter what, I will rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. My joy is found in the God of my salvation. So no matter the circumstances I face, I will rejoice. Why? Because my joy is not in my circumstances. Where's my joy? In God alone. Do you see what he's saying? See, Habakkuk at the beginning is looking at his circumstances and saying, there's no place for joy. But now he has seen God. He's seen God in his glory. He's seen God in his majesty. He's seen God in his sovereignty. And he says, in spite of the circumstances, that's where my joy lies. And even if they get worse, my joy is in the Lord. This is the heart of a mature faith. This is where God wanted Habakkuk to move. This is where God wants us in our lives, that in spite of circumstances, we rejoice. Don't you love this? That Habakkuk comes with this kind of questioning of God, this kind of confusion, and God doesn't just strike him dead. Habakkuk is not where God wants him, but God patiently and lovingly says, come along, Habakkuk. Let me show you who I am. Let me remind you of my greatness. Let me remind you of my power and my faithfulness and my goodness and my justice and my judgment and my promise of protection and my covenant. Look at all these things, Habakkuk, and then you can be here. And it's where he wants you and I today. So the walk of faith, Christian maturity, is when our joy is found in God and not in the changing circumstances of life. Please hear this. If your joy is dependent upon your circumstances, you will be miserable all the time. There'll be glimpses of good days, but if your joy is ultimately dependent upon your circumstances, you are in trouble. And the mature Christian life says, in spite of circumstances, my joy is in God. To say it another way, Christian maturity is when our greatest joy is in God himself and not the circumstances of life. Lest you think this is an isolated passage, do we not run across this truth time and again in Scripture? James chapter 1. Count it all what? Joy, brothers. When? When you wake up to sunshine and happiness and when there's food on the table. Count it all joy, brothers. When? When you fall into all kinds of trials. All kinds of troubles, because God is at work. Because your joy does not rest in circumstances, your joy rests in God. So God says to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, take your eyes off this little provincial place of Judah and look at the big picture. Look at who I am. Remember who I am and remember my faithfulness in the past. Isn't it easy for us to say, I'll take God if? God, I'll worship you if you'll bless me in this way. God, I'm all yours if, here's my condition. But our joy must be in God, not in our circumstances. And hear this morning. If your joy ultimately rests in circumstances, friend, your life is doomed to sorrow. If your joy even rests in good things, the good gifts of God, if your joy rests in your spouse and your spouse dies, then you're wrecked, you're ruined. If your joy ultimately rests in your reputation and you lose your reputation, then you're ruined. If your joy ultimately rests in your job and your accomplishment and you lose your job, then you are ruined. If your joy ultimately rests in your kids, in your finances, in your stuff, and you lose your kids or lose your finances or lose your stuff, then you're ruined. You're ruined, you're wrecked. And so our joy must be elsewhere. Maybe the greatest example of this, well, there's many. One of them is certainly in the New Testament is Paul. Let me read you just a few verses. We don't have time to revel in this the way we could. But Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at length you've revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, do you hear what he says? It's part of the maturing in faith. It's not where we start. It's not where Habakkuk was in Habakkuk 1, and it may not be where you are this morning, but it's where God wants you. And what a rejoicing, what a hope there is to find out, oh, Paul had to learn this. If Paul had to learn it, then maybe I need to learn it. So God, teach me contentment. Teach me to rejoice even in need, to rejoice in want, to rejoice in the midst of suffering. You think Paul had a pretty good resume in regard to suffering? 2 Corinthians 4, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. We are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 11, are they servants of Christ? Then I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman here with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people, in danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger, in thirst, without food, cold, exposure. And apart from these things, there's the daily concern for the churches. Lest you say this morning, Pastor Steve, you just don't understand. Maybe I don't, but Paul did. How does your resume stack up to that? If anybody had the right to say, don't you think, hey, that's enough. This poor guy gets shipwrecked, right? And what happens when he gets ashore? A snake bites him. Right, you read this story, you think about that. Like, you think at some point Paul's just looking up to heaven and said, God, really? Like, is that enough? I was adrift at sea, I finally get on land and a snake bites me? Yet this is the man who writes I have learned to be content in all circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How can he say this? Chapter 3 of Philippians, verses 8 to 11. This is why. It's the lesson Habakkuk learned, stated by someone on the other side of the cross. This is why he can say this. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. How is Paul able to say this in the midst of his sufferings? How is Paul able to say, I rejoice in the Lord, I rejoice in the God of my salvation, though all the circumstances of life should point me away from it? Because his treasure and his joy are not found in the circumstances of life. And so he says, you can take them all away because that's not where my joy is found. You can take my job away. You can take my health away. You can take my kids away. You can take my family away. You can take my reputation away. You can take it all away, and it does not impact my joy because that's not where my joy rests. My joy is in God alone, and I count all this as rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this. He says, you can beat me, and you can imprison me, and you can shipwreck me, and you can threaten me, and you can chase me in the wilderness. You can throw rocks at my head. Yet nothing, Romans 8, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Right? So Paul says, I've learned to be content in all circumstances because circumstances are not where my joy lies. My joy is in the Lord. And I want to emphasize this again. We're not talking about some fake, superficial happiness. When I say to you that if your joy ultimately rests in your spouse and you lose your spouse, you're wrecked, I am not saying in that there's no genuine grief there. Okay, would you hear that, please? It's John 11, right? Where Jesus, after having told the sisters, I am the resurrection, right? They know they're going to see their brother in the resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And then what does he do? He weeps with them. So please don't hear that my suggestion to you is that the Christian life is about looking at the circumstances of life and walking through it like Pollyanna, like it's no big deal. There is real pain and there is real grief and there's real sorrow, and that is not ungodly. But our hope is not ultimately set on those things. So our joy is not conditioned by those things because our joy is to be ultimately in the Lord. And so we see that mature faith focuses on the character of God, not the circumstances of a life. And though everything around me fail, I will rejoice in the Lord and the God of my salvation. Then we see in verse 19, just briefly, the mature faith that's exhibited here through Habakkuk understands that that God is his strength. God is the one who raises him up. He uses language here, I won't dwell on it, but it's fascinating. It's only found in Psalms, anywhere in Scripture, this description of God with his name and his title, this is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. This is poetic language for saying I'm lifted up. It's the picture, we might say, of walking on air, of being sure-footed. The foundation, the circumstances of life can crumble around me, yet I will stand firm because God raises me up. He puts me up on my high places. I am set and I am established in the most treacherous terrain. F.F. Bruce said it this way, as the sure-footed hind or deer, the female deer, makes its way in rocky and precipitous places without slipping, so the prophet's faith empowers him to surmount his adversaries and live on that higher plane where the soul is in direct touch with God. In a land, in a life, that is full of places to stumble, God raises him up. The high places were places of protection. They were dangerous to get to him, but once you got there, it was a place of protection. It was a place of perspective. And he can rejoice in the midst of his suffering because God is the one that lifts him up. And this rejoicing in the midst of suffering is likened to walking sure-footedly on mountaintops. Note the personal nature of this. This is not, as part of our application, I'm going to tell you that I've said it time and again, that one of the keys to living this kind of life is theology. And for many of you, when you hear that, you're like, oh, that's just book study. When I say theology, I mean a knowledge of God, knowing who God is, his character. What makes it possible for Habakkuk to move from that kind of fear to this kind of faith, from that kind of sorrow to this kind of joy and song, is that he understands the personal nature of this. Look what he says. He is my strength. He's not just strong, he's my strength. He doesn't just theoretically do this for people. He does this to my feet. He raises me up. He makes me tread on my high places to grant me protection, to grant me perspective. One other commentator said it this way, sure-footed, untiring, bounding with energy, the Lord's people may expect to ascend the heights of victory despite their many severe setbacks. The heights of the earth, the places of conquest and domain, shall be the ultimate possession of God's people. Folks, this is the reality. We live most of life in the valley. We just do. That's the nature of this world. I was only able to meet my wife's grandma once at Easter one year, not much before she passed away. And she gave me a quote. We're sitting there on the piano bench in the living room, and she said this. And I can't remember the context of the conversation, but I'll never forget this quote. She said, Stephen, life is not intended to be lived on the mountaintops. Life is intended to be lived in the valleys. But God grants us the mountaintops at times for perspective. He lifts us up. He raises us up. And that's what he did with Habakkuk. Habakkuk's down in the valley. He's surrounded by his circumstances. And God says, Habakkuk, come here. Look what I'm doing. I got to put you back down in the valley. You got to go back down there, Habakkuk. That's where you live, and it's going to be hard. But from up here, look what I'm doing. I'm not forsaking my people, am I? No, you're not. God, I see that now. Have I ever forsaken you, Habakkuk? No. Look what I'm doing. Habakkuk, you want me to be glorified in that little valley right there, but look what I'm doing. Habakkuk, look up higher. I'm going to bring the knowledge of the glory of who I am to the whole earth. And God raises us up, and he grants us perspective, and he says, okay, my child, you got to get back down there now. But he raises us up. He is our strength. What a dramatic change in this man's life. This book ends with one of the most triumphant statements of faith in all of Scripture. This man who is full of complaining and full of anxiety and full of fear. How is it possible? Because Habakkuk saw God for who he is. And the vision he had of God impacted his life. He was reminded of God's faithfulness in the past. He was reminded of God's promises regarding the future and his people. He was reminded of God's character, his righteousness, his holiness, his justice, his sovereignty. He was reminded that God works always in a manner that accomplishes his purposes. He will never fail, even when we can't understand what he's doing. He was reminded that God was committed to the salvation of his people, that he will not forsake the just who live by faith. He was reminded that the one day a knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth like water covers the sea. And he recognizes the personal nature of all these truths, and he realizes, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about my circumstances. It's about God. And so if I take my eyes off this stuff and I look there, I gain perspective. The suffering doesn't end. There's no promise in Scripture that the circumstances, the pain, stop, but we get some perspective, and we can say with Paul, we can say with James, we can say with Habakkuk, I will rejoice in the Lord. And until we realize this, that it's not about us, we will never be able to walk through the trials of life with joy. Until we realize that the answer to lasting joy is not the transformation of circumstances. And I think if we're honest, we think that way. God, if you want me to be happy, you got to change my circumstances. That's not the key to lasting joy. The key to lasting joy in the midst of life is the transformation of my heart to see God for who he really is and for what he's already done. Most specifically for us, the gospel. Can we say with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego this morning, even if, God, it's a good day, and God, I anticipate your blessings, but even if you take all this away from me, my hope, my trust is in you. And when we can't say that, that's where, and we talked about this in chapter 2, that's where we identify potential idols in our lives, potential of areas in our lives that distract us from the worship of God. What is the area of your life where you can't say even if? What are you holding on to that tightly that you say, even if? I can't say that if I lost my job. If I lost my job, I might lose my faith. If I lost my job, I'd lose my joy. And how do we get there? How do we get to that point where we can say even if? We cry out to God, we increase in our knowledge of God, and through his word, he answers us. And Habakkuk can trust in God and have faith and wait patiently because he knows that the Lord is the sovereign over the universe. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Grace has brought me safe thus far, and what's next? Grace will lead me home, even in the midst of those toils and snares, because God is my joy. I'll end with this and then we'll pray. This is from Jonathan Edwards' sermon preached in 1733. It was a sermon on the full enjoyment of God. God is the highest food of the reasonable creature, and the enjoyment of him is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. To go to heaven fully to enjoy God is infinitely better than the most pleasant accommodations here. Fathers and mothers, husbands, wives, children, and the company of earthly friends are but shadows. But the enjoyment of God is the substance. These are but scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are but streams, but God is the fountain. These are but drops, but God is the ocean. Let's pray. Father, help us to see this. Help us to believe this by faith. Help us to walk by faith. Help us to see, Father. As the man says in the Gospels, we believe. Help our unbelief. And Lord, I would pray in particular for those this morning who they are hurting. They're walking through really difficult circumstances. And I don't in any way want to diminish the pain and the reality of hurt and difficulty in this world. But Father, would you comfort their hearts with the truth that you are in control? And their joy cannot rest in their circumstances. It must rest in you. Father, convict us of those areas in our lives where we're looking for ultimate joy in things that are not ultimate. We're looking for satisfaction in your blessings instead of in who you are. Father, we want our faith increased by a greater knowledge and understanding of who you are so that we can say, with the prophet Habakkuk, with James, with Paul, with Shadrach, with Job, with Esther, with Ruth, with Joseph, though everything around us fail, yet I am resolved that I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Father, I make that the prayer for each of us by the power and the help of your Spirit, and the promises that you've given us that you will never leave us, you'll never forsake us, and nothing can separate us from your love, Father, that we would live and learn to be content in all things to your glory. Grant us perspective. Grant especially those this morning who are suffering, who are hurting, grant them perspective in the midst of their pain, Father, that they might rejoice. All possible and all in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And you're listening to Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne from San Gabriel Community Church. If you'd like to review today's program, we invite you to visit our website, growingingraceradio.org. That's growingingraceradio.org. Review today's program or simply visit past radio programs you might have missed. More information about who we are is also available, again, growingingraceradio.org, or visit our church site, sangabrielcommunity.org. A lot of other resource materials available there, as well as information, directions, location, and service times if you wish to join us for worship here at San Gabriel Community Church. That's sangabrielcommunity.org, or call 626-656-1000. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, God bless. Growing in Grace is the ministry of San Gabriel Community Church.